going from a place in my life where I was so unhappy and so scared and so felt worthless that I thought maybe me not being here was a better decision for everybody today, of like my kids, my wife, and just like truly, like a lot of people follow me now and they see all the stuff we're putting out on social. I wish I could have had a camera the whole time, you know, because it's easy. They see it and they go, oh, but you're this, you know, so easy because you're this. You naturally do that. I was like, nope, zero. Nope. I'm not going to give you that out. I did not come from anything. I came from a massive hole. Like the data speaks for itself. I ended up in jail twice by the time I was 17. I'm not supposed to be alive, let alone free. So it's pretty beautiful.
Hello there, Brave Table fam. Welcome to another episode of The Brave Table. I'm your host, Dr. Neetha, and this is your oasis, your destination to be all things just a little bit more brave in your action, in your pursuits, in your relationships, and in your life. And if you are new, I just want to give you a very, very warm welcome. You're in for an amazing treat. I have somebody today that is literally going to blow your socks off. When I met him earlier in person, it was like, whoa, a breath of fresh air on so many levels. He has an incredible story and literally started from almost ending his life, having addiction issues at a very, very early age, was in prison twice and isn't supposed to be here. And today he is not only a serial entrepreneur, he is the author of multiple, many, many best-selling books, including the one Buy Back Your Time. And he is a serial entrepreneur that has devoted his life into software companies. And now he is on a mission to transform young people's lives through teaching them the art of time management, putting your passion into purpose, and so much more. And my guest today is Dan Martell. He is a serial entrepreneur, an angel investor, a thought leader, and a highly sought after coach in the software space industry. He's founded, scaled, sold, and successfully managed thousands of people, and he's exited three technology companies within a 10-year period. I mean, blown away, and he is the nicest human. He's also a father, and he is a husband. And life wasn't always this way. When he was 15 years old, he was in a high-speed chase with cops, guns, and he's been through failures, and he is here to sit with us today. And if you are watching this on YouTube, which I highly encourage you to do so, you will see that our setup is a little bit different. It is big, it is bold for our guest today. And really, in this episode, we drop into rising from any addiction. Now, Dan, his story gives me goosebumps, and I'm just so inspired by the fuel that he's been able to use, which we dive into, his secret sauce, and how to really channel some of our addictive behaviors, some of our self-sabotage behaviors into purpose. And in his case, he's helped thousands of people along the way, and how to actually manage your time efficiently. So for the mamas in the room, we went deep into whether it's motherhood, whether it's your next evolution, your next iteration, what you want to do next, how do you manage your time between family and the things that you want to do? And he talks about a concept called how to buy back your time, and it is fantastic. And so we get in here so that you actually have more time for the things and what to look out for and how to know if you're spending the right time on certain things that you should be spending them on and how to actually buy it back so that you can spend time for the things and the people that you love most. And he spills the tea on some really interesting topics. So we had so much fun. I learned so much from him, and I think you're going to learn so much from him and probably even get his book, Buy Back Your Time. Without further ado, this week, we are welcoming the one, the only, Dan Martell. Hey, love. Want to go deeper and behind the scenes with our mini trainings with some of our guests on the Brave Table? Then become an insider and get the inside scoop. It's absolutely free, and you'll unlock private mini trainings that will help you be even more brave in your relationships as we go deeper in certain areas of your life. So become an insider today for free at neethabhushan.com/insiders. That's INSIDERS. And learn from the Vice documentary Shaft on pleasure, Dr. Kate Northrup on money blocks, Karen Rockland on speaking your truth, and Dr. Nisha Khanna on women's health, and so, so much more. And guess what? It's all free when you go to Neeta, that's N-E-E-T-A, Bhushan, Bhushan.com/insiders. Grab your inside scoop today. And now back to the show. Welcome to the Brave Table.
It's an honor.
This is really cool. So I kind of want to start by asking you, what are you, Dan Martell, what are you braving in this season?
Oh, that's such a fun question. Mm-hmm. I would say learning how to be 100% fully expressed all the time. Because it turns out, and this is recent, like this is in the last like 6 months, I've experienced that when I can do that, everything just becomes high def. So like the conversations, the people, the attraction. It's actually so funny right now that even in my desire to like be there, the people around me, you know, you met my team, they're doing it. So it's so funny because this morning...
They're so awesome, by the way.
Thank you. I do adore them. But like, you know, Anne's, you know, we're doing her thing and then she's like, oh, watch out. And I was like, don't worry, I'm good. And boom, it spills on me. Or like, hey, don't do... And I go, you got to watch out. You're like, you're vibing. Like, so it's actually interesting because what I'm trying to say is the more I allow myself to brave that, because it does require some faith to just say, hey, how about just be 100% who you are? So even in you asking this question, you know, my brain kind of went, and I was like, no, I'm just going to share exactly what first came to my mind. And I think that that creates kind of like an overflow effect around you. And then all of a sudden, the people you spend a lot of time with, the whole thing can kind of get a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, and I think that for somebody like you who has been such a serial entrepreneur, and I feel like you race, you do all of these like high intensity
adrenaline junkie-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you think that kind of came from? Because I mean, that first introduction chapter of your book, I was blown away. I mean, literally starts with
first sentence.
Well, I mean, the one sentence that caught my attention was, then that's when I reached for the gun. And so I kind of want to just, how does somebody start there? And then that it's kind of unfolding to where you are today. So I kind of want to unpack that.
I get emotional when you ask that because it is pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. Like I wake up every day and go like, how is this my life? And I understand it now. I've done the work. I kind of experienced the greatness in it all. So it's, I say that or I'll say, oh, this is so crazy. But I know it's not crazy. And I just, I'm so grateful. So going from a place in my life where I was so unhappy and so scared and so felt worthless that I thought maybe me not being here was a better decision for everybody today of like my kids, my wife, and just like, just truly, like a lot of people follow me now and they see all the stuff we're putting out on social. I wish I could have had a camera the whole time, you know, because it's easy. They see it and they go, oh, but you're Dan, you're this, you know, it's so easy because you're this, you're this, you're this. You naturally do that. I was like, nope, zero. Nope. I'm not going to give you that out. I did not come from anything. I came from a massive hole. Like the data speaks for itself. I ended up in jail twice by the time I was 17. I'm not supposed to be alive, let alone free.
Yeah.
So it's pretty beautiful.
Well, and there's that, the introduction chapter of your book where you go in and the security guard or the
yeah,
guard.
Brian.
Can you tell us about Brian? Because I'm like, shout out to Brian, wherever he is.
He's yeah, I mean, so I got in a lot of trouble as a kid. And it's funny because like, I think a lot of people do things. I don't know, most teenagers, my brothers, I only know my world, but I talk to people and like—
Are you the oldest or the—
I'm the second oldest.
Okay.
Yeah, my sister's the oldest, but I have two younger brothers and we all got in trouble. We all, you know, did things were probably illegal and kind of pushed the boundaries and had a lot of energy, but I always just seemed to get caught. My dad was always, he's like, you and your two brothers do the same thing, but you're the one that gets arrested. And I'm like, I know, it's not fair. And he's like, well, maybe you should stop. But yeah, I ended up getting addicted to drugs and, you know, spending time with people that I shouldn't have been hanging out with and eventually ended up, you know, in adult jail just because I had a drug addiction. They had this like special cell block unit for kids that were addicted to drugs that wanted to get some therapy.
Yeah.
It wasn't therapy, but they were trying. I get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I ended up getting in a fight with this kid named Kirk. I don't know, he's just a little muscle kid and attitude. Yeah. And we get thrown in the hole. So juvenile.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. It is a, so they call it solitary confinement. It's 24 hours lit up room, cement bed in your underwear.
Oh no.
Stainless steel toilet sink combo. And they let you out for 30 minutes a day in a 10 by 10 brick, you know, area with a fence roof. Like you're like open the door, you go outside, you're outside, but it's a 30 foot wall, you know. It was probably the most, I wouldn't say the most inhumane thing that's ever I've experienced, because like I think just like people don't realize when you go to court or you transfer in and out of juvenile detention, like they strip you down.
Wow.
It is. And the first time I went, I was 14, 15.
Really?
Yeah.
That same
situation.
Okay.
Scenario. Yeah. I've been in the system since at that point. I got taken out of my home when I was 11 or 12 and put into foster care.
Wow.
Yeah. So I experienced it all. And yeah, the hole was the worst. And they don't tell you how long you're there for.
So you're in solitary confinement after you get into a fight.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you how long. And so
you don't even know what time of day it is.
What's going through your mind?
So stupid. I was trying to do yoga. So stupid. Like you're asking me, I'll tell you. I'll be 100% honest. I'm sitting there trying to do yoga. I've never done yoga. But what else am I going to do? It's just me with myself. And I'm sitting there trying to think, well, maybe I should do some push-ups. Like, how do I use the time to be more productive, I guess? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the sit-ups, the push-ups, the yoga. But then it's an adult prison and the rest of the cells are with other guys that are unhinged, like primal. So they do this thing where they rock their cells. Rocking the cell is laying on their back and they kick the door, steel door, so violently that it will bend the bottom corner of the door to a point where if they bend it too much, the guards suit up. And I'm in my cell hearing this.
Wow.
Like just the craziest stuff. So I was there for maybe 3 days. And on the third day, the door opens and there's this guy standing there, one of the prison guards named Brian. And he was just shaking his head, super disappointed. And I felt kind of bad. Like I knew I should have, you know, spoke up and got in the fight. And the reason why I felt bad is because Brian was, you know, Brian probably been working there for a decade. You know, he's seen a lot of kids come and go. And but he was one of those people, and I don't know if you had somebody in your life that, you know, like an older person that you just kind of like respected, you know, like you wanted to do good by them. And so he would look the other way if you wanted another dessert or, you know, if he knew you were smoking in your cell, like this is all the weird shit we do in prison. He'd just be like, as long as you're not making noise and I can't see it, you know, he'd look the other way. So when he opens the door and he's just shaking his head, I'm like, I felt so guilty. And he says, come with me. And we like leave and walk down the hallway. It's like a pretty long walk back to the cell block. And in jail, like there's no lines on the ground, but like it's not like a hospital where they're like, go this way, but you just don't go anywhere else. So we like end up walking past the door, which is the cell block.
Okay.
About 10 feet down to another door, which I've never been 1 foot past that door. Because when we were in transfer, you're in transfer.
Okay.
And the next door is the guard unit. And inmates are not allowed in the guard unit. And he opens the door and he says, come on in. And he asked me to sit down and I'm sitting in the corner of this guard unit. I'm like seeing the inside and it's like the other side of the one-way mirror. So I'm like looking at the cell block. Oh, there's the other cell block. It's built on a corner. The cameras and there's no other staff there. And I'm like, what's going on? And he sits me down and he grabs a chair, no different than this, pulls up and he looks at me and he goes, what are you doing here, man? And I go, well, I got in a fight with Kirk. Like, it was not that. He's like, what are you doing in this place? And I said, well, I got in a high-speed chase and I had a gun and I was high and drunk. And he goes, not that. He goes, I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. I've been here for a long time. I see a lot of kids. And I see you staying out of trouble and doing your work and working on your GED. And it's like, if you've never heard this before, Dan, you don't belong here.
Wow.
And it was almost like he was talking to a family member that just happened to magically get picked up and dropped in. Like the way he looked at me, it was just like he couldn't. And I was like, why is he saying this? Mm. And I think there was just something in that moment that my brain started being like, you know, I broke down. Cause like I'd never had anybody see me that way, believe in me that way. Mm. I definitely didn't have any, like zero belief. Like I was still on the edge of like, am I even worth taking up the air? And I think because of who he was and the fact that I knew he would actually get in trouble if they found out I was there. Like I wasn't supposed to be in that room. He wasn't my caseworker. There was zero upside for Brian taking the time out to share that with me. That just, that started kind of this internal belief that maybe I'm not as bad as everybody's been saying I have been.
Maybe
I'm worth it. Mm. And that led me on a completely different path. It took a few months. Eventually got released to a rehab center. Mm. And my whole life changed. I did 11 months, like in the middle of the woods. I lived there. Like I had a lot, most people do 4 months. I did 11.
That's insane. And then you have this encounter with Brian, and it's almost like Brian perhaps saved your life.
I feel this because as soon as you say that, I think of my two boys. Mm. I think of my wife. I think of my brothers, my sister, my family. Like anybody that knows me today and they see my life, there's zero remnants of any of that.
Yeah, it's like a full 180.
They meet my parents, they meet my dad. It's like, what? And guess what? I wasn't the only one. I might have been the one that ended up in juvenile detention, eventually prison. Mm-hmm. But my two brothers were also arrested, put on probation. You know, we kind of, luckily, and when I got out, it was like, again, that energy. It's like, I didn't tell them ever. Mm-hmm. I did me. I didn't say they should stop doing this or stop doing that or whatever. And when I think of that moment and what impact that's had on my life, one person, saved my life 100%. Mm-hmm. Made every person that I absolutely adore and loves lives better. That's bigger than even me, because like I know that the journey I went on and then help in these moments, my sister, my brothers, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like many times we take for granted sometimes those messengers or those angels that have always kind of like played a role in our lives. And I feel like, you know, Brave Table fam and whoever's listening to this, pay attention because you recognizing it now and of course putting it in the book, but like me reading that, I would have never thought in a million years you started your life like that, because you're the guy that that's like the serial entrepreneur and you're doing Ironman and you know, you have this like full life. Mm. And you know, there is something in your book. You talk about the chaos junkie and the study from the University of Queensland in Australia, where, and I thought about this because I also had a challenging childhood. I lost my parents before I was 19 and a lot of loss in my early upbringing. But the study concluded that kids from challenging childhoods are more passionate about starting a business, and how another Stanford professor has this theory around dysfunctional family theory that these entrepreneurs have similar traits of passion, tenacity, and comfort for operating in chaos.
Heck yeah.
What do you say about that?
So much. I love that question and I really appreciate it. Because obviously I wrote that book a couple of years ago, and now like when I wrote that chapter, and it's just been a theme, right? I think the people that have gone to the lowest places have the opportunity to go to the highest places. Mm. I think the people that find comfort in discomfort are able to take risk. I mean, it's funny when people like, last night I was given a keynote and did a Q&A after, and they're like, how do you take risk? And I was like, can we just pause for a second? A bunch of tech entrepreneurs. One guy, they asked a question. I said, what's the riskiest thing if you make a decision and you're wrong? He's like, well, then I lose my business. And I said, what's the worst part about that? He goes, then I can't pay my rent. And I go, is that true? Mm. You don't have anybody in your family that you could reach out to help you? And he goes, well, you're right. I said, and where would you end up working after if you didn't? Google? Can we be honest here? Like, so it was just so fascinating to me that I think people don't understand, and this is why I do a lot of work with at-risk youth, is those kids those people that have gone through those challenging times are actually the most equipped to go create in the world. Because it turns out the skill set of being able to work through that, and I think people forget that they've always gotten through it.
Yeah.
Like that's a big, I always like remind people, is there ever a moment where you didn't figure it out? They go, no, exactly, because you're here. And we're talking and we wouldn't even be talking if you didn't figure it out. Right? Was it hard? Did it go on for multi-years? For sure. Did you have to deal with some stuff? For sure. So you figured it out. Because you went through all the challenges, you've now become this person. And now this is the crux of it, is those people that have grown up in chaos that they became comfortable with, that's the junkie part. Now they only have one way of seeing the world.
Mm.
So as they create and build, it doesn't matter if it's business or their personal lives, they have to understand that there's certain moments you show up with a certain type of energy to solve problems and others where you don't. See, most entrepreneurs self-sabotage and create emotional shrapnel in their business and their teams.
Constantly, right?
Yeah, because they, because when it gets good, they go, this doesn't feel normal. Like for me and my family, like with my wife, Renee, there was a lot of work for me just to be okay in things being okay. Like she didn't grow up in a family where people fought. If her and I had a fight, I didn't care. For her, it ruined her day. Like it would go on until she felt like it was absolutely cleared and resolved. And I'm just like, oh, you're still thinking about that? Or like, so I just think a lot of entrepreneurs, when they actually get to a place where they're like, oh, I'm, the business is working and it's making money, the chaos junkies jump in and they throw in a hand grenade.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, I had this crazy idea last night. We're going to launch a new product. We're going to revamp our website and I'm going to hire 16 people next month. And then and the team's like, uh-oh, they're doing it again. So
creating this internal chaos.
Yeah. Because then it gives you ground cover to blame that when it fails. See, I actually think it's a self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Right? And what happens is self-sabotage, when you go for the thing you want to achieve, you're actually judging the outcome based on an inner child wound, something that you believe in that you don't even know it's subconscious.
Right.
Right? From being healthy, I don't want to look skinny, to, you know, I want to make $1 million, rich people are evil. I want love in my life, he's going to break my heart. It's so fascinating that people don't realize that the thing that made them successful. And I always say this, people, your number one strength becomes your Achilles heel as you grow. So if you're a great marketer, I already can tell you your choke point. If you're a great product person, I can, like, I can, if you're a finance, I can tell you what the choke point is going to be in your business because it's the thing that you're least likely to delegate, least likely to not be so critical of.
Because you feel like you need to control
and
that
you know
part.
It. Like, I have zero opinion on how invoices get sent out of my companies. You know what I'm saying? I have never created an invoice in my life. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't care about
like,
that.
I've received them, but I've never created, like, the formatting and the details and
right.
Zero opinion. But if we're talking about my socials, I have an opinion. So, like, there's this awareness. And that's why I wrote that chapter, because, like, it has nothing to do with productivity, but it does.
Right.
Because if you don't understand that that operating system is still playing, then it'll always be your complexity ceiling.
Well, and I love that you brought up the inner child. And many times, you know, operating out of that or the dysfunction was safe. And so if there is dysfunction, that means safe to thrive in this chaos.
It's their emotional home.
Yeah.
It feels comfortable.
And what I'm hearing you say, even kind of working through, because we have a lot of couples, married couples, even divorced folks that listen to The Brave Table, and even finding another partner that meets them where they're at, to do that work with your partner, Renee, to say, all right, I'm going to make sure that we both feel safe and we'll talk about this because this is making your day not well. And so to kind of come together and collaborate on it. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that the spouse one is a fascinating one because, you know, I think it's Peter Crone. I worked with him. He's a brilliant man.
Love him.
Yeah, he has a great quote. It says that the world will show you through people and circumstances where you are not free. And sometimes people complain about their partner, or their, you know, issues with their kids. And I'm like, I just want to remind you. And I think entrepreneurship and business is the same thing. Business is the most beautiful personal development tool ever created because it's a reflection of you. If you want your business to grow, go look in a mirror and just stare at that person and just ask yourself a simple question is, who do I need to become? Mm-hmm. Like, what are those capital T trauma things that I don't even know? Somebody said this so good. They said, your trauma is like a book. Mm-hmm. And you're given the book. And you thought the goal was to take the book and put it on a bookshelf and pretend like it's not there.
Oof.
But you're supposed to read the book.
Open that baby
study
up.
Study the book. Understand it. And that's actually the work we're here to do. So I love it because Renee continuously, in the most awesome and interesting ways, shows me where I am not free.
Mm. Oof. Okay. And I love that we're talking about not being free, because I feel like your book, I mean, it is golden nuggets all over the place. Like, buy back your time. I feel like it's one of the most precious commodities, especially, you know, for me personally, as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as a serial entrepreneur, as a mama of two young kids. Mm-hmm. And you have so many amazing tools like within the book. But I want to start with this question. How do we buy back our time, especially with all of the several roles that we have on a daily basis?
Yeah. Again, it's fun because anybody that knows me knows I'm very systems focused, a bit intentional. If you read the book, you're like, man, I can't imagine having a conversation. Like, this guy sounds really structured and rigid. Yes, but here's what I would say. First off, is the belief that you're worth it. Mm. There's no amount of to-dos and SOPs and checklists and coaching I could ever give you that's ever going to come the fact that you need to first believe that your time is valuable. Mm. Like, really valuable. Like, the most beautiful, precious, you said it, it's the most important commodity we have, except people are very wasteful with it. Self-inflicted, that's why I talk about the time assassins, to just allow people to take advantage of us, right? In all situations, it doesn't matter who you are. So one, self-worth, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't think you'll ever get any more time back than you think you deserve. Mm-hmm. So if you don't think you deserve more time, you're never going to do the work, figure it out. Okay, so that's one.
Yeah.
Then the way, because everybody says time is valuable, and I don't disagree. The bigger idea I would invite people to consider is that what is the feeling that we have in time around certain tasks?
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, because to me, yes, it's time, because everybody, okay, like, oh, to productivity. So that's it's chocolate. That's what they want to talk about, productivity. Cool. But I want to talk about the broccoli.
Okay.
So you're going to come for what you think you want, but I'm going to give you what you need.
Yeah.
What you need to understand is that the activity within that time is not the same. So I call it like math class versus art class. Mm-hmm. When I went to math class and I hated it, it was like time almost stood still, mm-hmm. right? An hour felt like three. I go to math class and an hour turns into 6 minutes. Mm. Okay, well, that's a different experience. So then even just the idea of looking at your calendar and asking yourself, and this is what I teach in the book, the time and energy audit, yeah. of what are the things that light me up? Mm. Okay, and what are the things that suck my energy? Because if you just even ask yourself the question, how much more would you become? How much more would you be? How much more would you feel if I had a full day of things that are green that light me up versus one that's half and half?
Oh, yeah.
So right off the bat, you can explode your productivity, explode your creativity. Like, most people fail, not because the business wasn't going to work, is because they ended up building a company that they grew to hate.
Mm. Yeah, such a big concept in your book. Hey loves, are you looking for your next steps in deepening your personal growth journey? Curious to follow your highest purpose or your true calling in life? Or maybe you're curious to see what is calling you and what you are becoming in your next chapter. Well, maybe you just got out of a toxic relationship, or you're finally focusing on whatever that next chapter looks like. This is your invitation to join Doors at Highest Self Institute, our 6-month container to get certified as a dual soul purpose coach or a spiritual life coach. Whether you want to be a coach or you want to dive deeper into your own purpose, This is the school I wish I had during my tough moments in life. So I teamed up with my co-founder, Zahara Rose, and 3 years later, and over 1,000 students certified through our school, the world's first soul, purpose, Dharma coaching, and spiritual life double certification is here. We've certified over 1,000 students, so it's time. Take the leap of your life and find your like-minded, connected community that grows with you in the process. Now, doors are open, so go ahead and visit us at highestselfinstitute.com. That is highestselfinstitute.com. Now, back to the show. I wanted to kind of even double click on a lot of folks in our audience, I mean, me included, this whole idea, and I've made peace with it over the last few years. My youngest, my daughter is 2.5 now. Mm-hmm. But I remember we started the show 2 years ago, literally
in
this month.
In the thick of things.
In the thick. Wow. I mean, she was like, I don't know, 6 months old, 8 months old, probably. It was a crazy time. We had just moved here from LA, and so we were trying to remodel a home. My husband and I started another company. It was crazy. And I had a lot of mom guilt, a ton, because I'm like, oh my gosh, am I not being there? And we had a toddler as well. My son was 2. And so I would love for you to go into, because you talk about the replacement ladder. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even many conversations we've had on the Brave Table around this, around guilt, mom guilt, but then you have this amazing solution of the replacement ladder and when to actually think about things and when to outsource things.
And what those things look like.
Yeah. So can you just break it down for us how we can do that?
What was fun for me is a lot of people know me as a software guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I run the largest software CEO coaching group and I've built and exited software companies. My real passion is business, period, because the impact it's had on my life. It creates a forcing function for me to become better. So yes, software might be like the brush that I use to paint, but it's not the... I actually talk mostly to non-software people. My brother's a home builder. My best friend owns a sign company. My other friend owns an HVAC. So like I'm in the thick of it with them watching. So the question they would ask me all the time is, all right, I'm down. Okay, I drank the Kool-Aid, Dan, but what do I do with my team? Or like I'm starting from scratch, what would the sequence be?
Yeah.
And this is probably arguably the most battle-tested, debated, structured, thought through here. Like this is the sequence, okay? Right. And anybody that thinks there's a better one, bring it, find me on Instagram. Let's have this conversation. But trust me, battle-tested with the best minds in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The first level of the replacement ladder is anything that looks like administrative tasks.
Mm.
And the reason why is it's typically the thing that has the lowest cost to ask people to support you on.
Right.
Okay? Like I think people have some weird beliefs around like, oh, I'm going to get them to do the crap work. Don't call it crap work. It's not crap work.
Right.
If you didn't have that person helping you, guess who's doing it? You. Are you a crappy person? No. Then it's just stuff. It has to get done.
Right.
So the administrative stuff, and this is where I think a lot of people are not as creative as they could be. It's everything, especially mm-hmm. as a mom. It includes the stuff in your home. Mm-hmm. It's running errands. It's picking stuff up. It's anything that doesn't look like you expressing your creative passion or spending time with your kids or people you love or your husband. Like anything that looks otherwise. So my whole thing is hire somebody and give them all of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hold back. Like see how much could they clean your car every Wednesday and put gas in it? Could they do the groceries? Could they do some meal prep? Could they also process your inbox? Could they also manage your calendar? Could they also run errands? Could they purchase stuff? Could they book your travel?
Mm-hmm.
That first level, there is, I mean, most people, if they allowed themselves to do that, they could almost create, that's why I call it clone yourself as a chapter.
Yeah.
You'll get a 30 to 40 hours back in your life.
Ooh.
And then, what could you do with that? So then the next sequence for me is then hire somebody to help you with delivery or sometimes called fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So whatever you do, you're still the person talking to the customers, you get them to buy, but then as soon as they purchase, you want to give it to somebody else to manage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're a real estate agent, you can meet with the client, they want to buy the house, let's make an offer, call the person up. Hey, I need you to work with this person. Let's get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk your clients through everything from Q&A, scheduling, following up, documents. Just stop doing that.
Right.
You don't have to do it anymore. And again, when you hire that first level, they can do both those roles at first. But eventually you have enough volume in your business, that's the next hire. Mm-hmm. The hire above that is marketing. And the reason why is most entrepreneurs, I remember I was talking to this woman, Rachel, she had an agency and she kept hitting about 300K a year in revenue. And I knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. She'd have no clients, she'd get market, then get busy, then stop marketing, then run out of clients.
Just like that.
It was just up and down. Literally, 3 years or Pete, I said, show me your numbers. It's like, I was like, all right. So let's start at the bottom, get a good assistant, boom, creates a space. And then as you're getting the time back, you reinvest it to document and create a strategy for the next level. Mm-hmm. So the marketing one is, and I always say campaigns and traffic. You need somebody else that wakes up every day, looks at all your traffic sources. Mm-hmm. Traffic sources could be phone calls, could be website traffic, social.
Right.
And then also creatively works with you to say, what is the campaign we're doing? Mm-hmm. It's Cyber Monday, it's Black Friday, it's Christmas,
they're thinking ahead.
Yeah, it's Valentine's. Yeah, they're creating a campaign. See, most entrepreneurs forget that when they started, they like did a thing, but then they got busy and then they forgot to keep doing the thing that made the money.
Right.
You need somebody else to own that. And then all of a sudden you get leads all the time consistently. Mm-hmm. Then the next level up is sales. This one is a fun one to watch people struggle through because nobody can do it like I do it. They don't want to talk to anybody else. I'm the person. I'm the guy they see. I'm the person on the billboard and the person in the ads or whatever. Of course they want to talk to me. Until you can learn to let go and realize what they want is to have a conversation with somebody who can help them make a decision. It doesn't have to be you because if they have to wait 2 weeks to get on a call with you, that doesn't help them. Mm. And most entrepreneurs have no idea that they're the bottleneck.
Yeah.
So what's cool, and I call that stage freedom, because if you think about it, four hires, any entrepreneur, I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm. Four, and it doesn't matter what stage
any industry, software, HVAC, lawn care, four hires, and now you can go on vacation and somebody else is responsible for creating opportunities. Somebody else is responsible for talking those opportunities and making them customers. Somebody else is responsible for bringing them into your world and getting them started. And when you come back from vacation, you can get back involved and your business finally is making money while you're not there.
I mean, it's huge because I feel like a lot of, you know, and I'll speak for kind of, you know, the moms and those who are kind of reinventing themselves, even after having a couple of kids, they want to start another venture or, you know, maybe their personal brand or something else. And we talk a lot about reinvention here, but the systems to do it, and you have so many. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is
I'm a framework guy. Yeah.
I love the frameworks because for my ADHD brain, we need to have structure. And I loved that you even have, I want to kind of go into the drip matrix because I feel like that is huge. When do we delegate?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the next thing after knowing when to replace certain things. And when I came across the replacement letter, I'm like, oh yeah, I was trying to do so many different things because I could do it.
Yeah.
And because a lot of us, we can do it, but at the cost of whom?
Yeah.
At the cost of your relationship with partner, you're like less resourced emotionally. So then you're screaming at everybody.
Yeah.
And those things just help you, it seems like, buy back your time. But I want to hear about the drip matrix.
Yeah. So it's funny because last night I was talking to somebody and they were asking me about essentially the beliefs, right? So a lot, you said it, because I can do it. When you actually ask why, sometimes people get to is like, well, I could do it, but the real fear I have from letting go is I don't want my mom to think I can't take care of my home.
Mm.
I don't want my best friend to say, oh, you're too busy in your business to clean it, so you have to have a cleaning lady? That's interesting, right? Or I don't want to deal with an employee saying, oh, he's too lazy to take out the garbage, or he's too lazy, or he's not part of the team because he's not here 69. I had, in the book, I talk about it. A friend of mine, he owned a bike shop, and his belief was, I have to shake every hand of person that comes through the door. And if I don't do that, the whole thing's going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And while he was doing that, all the logistics in the back office was totally out of whack. I bought four bikes from him and it cost, I probably spent $100,000 on triathlon bikes and all stuff. And it's like, I just want my stuff to show up on time. I want the guy in the repair shop to say, it'll be ready at 3 o'clock on Thursday. And it's ready at 3. Like, and you think shaking my hand and knowing my name is the, no, dude, get in your freaking office and run the business.
Yeah.
So the drip matrix was in many ways inspired by that scenario and many others, which is, how do we learn to let go?
Oh,
and
so good.
Yeah. So the bottom left quadrant, and DRIP stands for, it's an acronym. So the bottom left quadrant, right? Because it's really about things that make you money that light you up. Mm-hmm. So the bottom left is delegate. It's anything. And it's not even delegate because I think often if we audit our time, we'll find stuff we just shouldn't be doing.
Mm.
Right?
I just did this recently. All of the things that Neetha should not be doing.
Delete.
So this is so good.
Okay. Yeah. Or defer. There's frameworks around this. And then eventually delegate. Right? Defer mm-hmm. is even like, you know what? This is not a now thing. Let's make it a Q3 thing mm-hmm. or a 2025 thing.
Because we think everything needs to be urgent and now.
We think everything's a kitchen fire.
Yeah.
And they're dumpster fires. Mm. Or there's no fire at all. But we think it could turn into a fire. Those are completely different things. Like there's no lack of opportunity to make anything better. And if you think that the timeline for everything is now, well, again, that's the maturity process of being an entrepreneur we have to go through. So that's the bottom left quadrant. Then we move up and that's the replacement ladder, right? The R mm-hmm. is replacement. And that's why I taught that framework so that people understood, okay, now that I've kind of created some space, I now can make more money. I've got extra money and now I get to hire people starting. And some people have to go back and just start from the bottom.
Right.
Then follow the replacement ladder. The fifth rung in the ladder is actually leadership.
Mm.
Right? So the four were there, but then the fifth is leadership because that's when, you know, people hire friends and give them cool titles. I mean, come on. Is that COO really a COO or that's just like your friend from college that you trust?
Mm.
And that's fine, but here's how you know you have somebody that can lead something is that can they own an outcome?
Mm.
Can they come to you with the strategy?
Oh, this is so good.
That is like the filter.
You can't do it for them.
It's easy to hire somebody and tell them what to do. It's hard to hire somebody and have them tell you what to do. I hire people. Like you, me, and my team.
They're telling you what to do.
Oh, your assistant is like, hey, Dan, were we doing that call after? I was like, what call? I'm not because like Ann owns my calendar. I teach it in the book. My inbox and my calendar. Dan is not. She is literally CEO of Dan's inbox and calendar.
I love that. I want more people to tell me what to do.
Yeah. I just put me in the right place. I do this. Dan, until the AI robot can do this better, I am the only person that can have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. And it allows me to help people. So then we go down to the bottom right quadrant. Okay, because like if you look at the XY axis, make more money, light you up. You got to earn your opportunity to light you up. Okay. Mm. So like a lot of people in personal development, they go on these journeys of, I call it shelf help, where they're like spending the money, going to the seminars, collecting stuff like a squirrel and don't do anything with it. And they're in the investment quadrant, but they don't have the rest of the vehicle yet.
Mm.
And that's, there's a balance.
Action.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to have a vehicle. But once you buy back your time, then you get to invest. And that's the I in DRIP.
Mm.
And the investment one for me is asking myself, what's the next skill I have to acquire to unlock more time?
That's a hard question.
That is the question.
That's like pointing inward.
That's the looking in the mirror and saying, who do I need to become?
Mm.
Right? Here's what I aspire to do. These are my goals. Okay? Here's what I learned a long time ago. Your goal, your size, the dream, the BHAG, I don't care what you write down, your vision board, it is a byproduct of your habits and your standards. Period, full stop. And most people don't have good habits or standards. They don't have the knowledge on how to run a company, the rhythms, how to hire properly, how to lead those people, how to help them set goals big enough for their dreams to fit inside of. Like, these are skills. So the investment quadrant is once I buy back some time and I got some extra time on my calendar, then I get to go on the journey to become better. And that then creates more resources in the business, better at sales, better at marketing, better at leadership, better at innovation. And then we go up to the top right quadrant, which is produce, the P.
Mm-hmm.
That's where like I wish, and that's why we're recording everything now, the media stuff. I want to show everybody how it can look.
Yeah.
Where you wake up every day and you've intentionally designed your life in a way that allows you to do things that are energy giving and joyful and fun. Doesn't mean I do hard things. Like you said, Ironmans, ultras, name it. I'm not opposed to discomfort.
You do ultras too?
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah. I'll never stop. I like every year I do one thing that's just like ridiculous.
I love it.
Yeah, because it's the dojo. My coach says, he goes, your capacity is expanded at your extremities. So I want to figure out what I'm addicted to expansion. Where are the edges?
Mm.
What are we playing with here? Right?
This is so good because what I'm hearing from all of this and I think, you know, for everyone listening, and if you're watching this on YouTube, to take note of really looking at yourself in the mirror and asking those hard questions. And I feel like the theme has been, who do you need to become as that leader? Who do you need to become as that person who wants to have more time for their family, their friends? And I feel like, you know, when I was reading your book, it was like, oh, okay, I am a better mother and definitely a better friend and definitely a juicier spouse if I'm actually having more spaciousness and freedom. But it has to be when I'm also delegating the shit that I shouldn't be doing.
It's last night I asked somebody, because they were like, you know, I do this thing and I get this way and I get overwhelmed and then I do this and I go, does the world, does your wife, do they get the best version of you when you're that way? No. And you got emotional. I said, here's the thing, is nobody's asking you to act that way. Nobody's forcing you to do this. The cool thing about being in business is that we decide what we do with our time. It's a blessing and a curse, right? Yeah, we have customers, all that stuff. But I said, you owe it to them and to yourself to decide, to figure out who you need to become. This is the thing to think about. That person that's achieving those outcomes, what do they believe about time? What do they believe about money? What do they believe about relationships? That's different. Because if you believe those things, your life would look that way. So you don't.
Yeah.
So we have to go on this exploration of saying, what are the beliefs that would allow me, what I call points of view, to make a different series of decisions, which comes back to worth.
Comes back to worth. Oh my gosh. Okay. And there's so many other things that I want to ask you about. And I know we're kind of starting to wrap up and press for time, but where can everybody get your book, Buy Back?
I appreciate you asking. Yeah, buybackyourtime.com is the best place. And the reason why is it's available on all bookstores and whatnot and Amazon, but that's where I have the resources. So my publisher was like, this is an awesome book, but there's a difference between a university textbook and a bestseller. And I was like, all right, you're the pro. Tell me what. So a lot of the stuff I had to take out, the worksheets, the models, the frameworks, and that's available on the website.
I mean, the worksheets are incredible.
Yeah, like the preloaded year and the perfect week. And like, I'm a tactile guy. Like, tell me how to do it. I call myself a frustrated builder. Like, I want to go there. If you give me the steps, you know, I'm going
to
go do it.
It's so good. So go to buybackyourtime.com. We'll link it in the show notes. And where can we follow you? And this is before we get into our community.
Yeah. Instagram is the best. And I'll tell you what I'll do for your audience. If you message me, follow me on Instagram and message me.
Dan Martell on Instagram.
Yeah. And message me the Brave Table. So I know you came here. And only for people that, if you don't say Brave Table, the answer is no. But I will send you the direct link to my internal EA, executive assistant playbook.
Ooh.
This is the one with Anne, sanitized. So I got to take some stuff out. I'll give you the link. No opt-in, no nothing. Only for your audience.
Oh, done.
Yeah,
all right.
Two L's and Martell. Dan Martell on Instagram.
Dan Martell on Instagram. Send him a DM. Get that EA
DM,
playbook.
DM.
Get that playbook. Okay. Let's spill the chai. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. I know that you're a triathlete. Mm-hmm. I kind of, sort of was one a little bit a long time ago. What's your favorite out of the three? Swimming?
Biking.
Biking.
No brainer. I can't swim to so bad.
You've done an Ironman.
I've done two Ironmans.
You swam 2 miles. Is it 2.5 miles?
Oh, geez. I think it was 2.4 miles.
Okay. Yeah. It's like 2.5 miles.
Yeah. I actually did a long one. It was 5 miles.
Oh,
I did
dear
a 5 mile
God.
Swim across a lake.
Dear. Okay. Did you do backstroke the whole way?
No, I stayed in the pain cave. Woo. Even the guy in the boat was like, are you okay? And I go, I'm so bad sometimes. I'm like, I'd rather die. He's like, what? There's conversations you have to have with yourself in certain moments that are not enlightened and divine. Like you gotta, so anyways, yeah, I've done a lot of stuff, but biking is the one. So it's funny is the swim, I'm last out of the water and I've got really good power to weight ratio. And I just take souls on the bike. It's like really fun because I start at the back. So if there's 1,000 athletes in a race, I pass 800 of them.
Oh my God.
It feels so good. And then guess what? On the run, they're like pitter patter, right past me the whole time, just like full marathon. So I'm not extraordinarily fast in Ironman, but it taught me so much about me and just life and measurement of like how to, you know, because it's three different disciplines.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually like, that's why now I'm doing ultras because it's one discipline. Whereas like, I don't want to go swim, bike, run.
Biking is definitely my favorite though.
Oh, it's so good. Great way to see a place. Like anytime I go to a city and I have time, I'll just run a bike and go on these like 50K, 80K rides.
Same. Yeah.
I was in Scottsdale. I got to see it all.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay. Your current favorite meal could be with your family or without.
Well, right now I am doing a thing called Project Visible Abs. So I'm not eating anything fun. So are we talking about if I can eat anything? I know. No fun.
Okay. Well, right, Project Visible Abs. What are you eating?
Right now that I enjoy eating the most, I've got this rice, raisins, cinnamon thing that I get to have as a snack, which I believe is right after this.
Awesome.
That I quite enjoy. It's probably my favorite thing throughout the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Nothing special, but it's tasty.
And then what is one thing that you tell your kids currently? You have two boys, right?
I have two boys and I put them to bed every night.
Oh, wow.
And I always take time and they fight me right now, but eventually they'll realize it. I tell them about them. I tell them about their giftedness. I tell them about their genius. And they're like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, buddy, I got to tell you about you, man. And it's so funny. It's Noah, my youngest, he'll be like, oh, I just want to go to bed. And I'm like, come on. He's like, okay. He loves it. I just tell them each just like how good of a friend they are, how funny they are, how smart they are, how creative they are, how much I love watching them, you know, deal with challenges. And just, I always praise the effort. I'm not an outcome guy. I don't praise the result because that's not what I think is actually the most impressive thing. The most impressive thing is the person that tried to do 100 jump shots and they missed. Not the fact that every time they shoot, they're just gifted.
Yeah.
I want to praise the journey, but that's the thing. I just tell them about them.
And finally, one word that describes this season of life.
Expansion.
Yeah.
100%.
This was such a fascinating conversation. You are such a joy. Everyone, go ahead, follow Dan Martell on IG, on everywhere. Send him a DM. Go and grab, buy back your time, get it for a friend, get it for a colleague, a family member. Thank you so much for being on the Brave Table.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
This was fun. Such a fascinating interview. And he is such a bright light when you see him and meet him in person. So, so honored to have him on. Now you can go ahead, learn more about his offerings at danmartell.com. That's danmartell.com. And follow him on IG. He is all over. He has definitely doubled down on all of his content. And it's incredible to see him grow. He is Dan Martell on IG and everywhere else. Also on YouTube. You can go ahead and I highly, highly recommend grabbing his book, buybackyourtime.com. So go to buybackyourtime.com. I think you will learn so much from his book. It's honestly one of those tools from a production management approach. And anybody that's into time management or wants to be more efficient in managing their time, he has incredible tools inside the book itself and you'll get some bonuses. And so I'm going to link that also in the show notes. Now, if you are curious about building your brand or getting more into just focusing on you and building that next chapter for you in whatever way it looks like, I've listed 3 additional episodes that will get the juices flowing and the creativity flowing for you. And if this episode resonated, feel free to share this with a friend, a colleague, a family member, somebody that you think could use a little bit more bravery in this arena. And if you haven't already given us a 5-star review, we would so love to hear what you thought about the interview. And you can go ahead to iTunes, scroll all the way down and hit 5 stars and send us your feedback. And you can screenshot your review and send it to support@globalgrit.co. That is support@globalgrit.co. And if you haven't already, and if you're following us on YouTube or Spotify or iTunes, all you have to do is click the follow button, click the subscribe button. That will help us in more ways than you can ever imagine. So I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in week after week. It's because of you that we're growing. We get to do this. We get to bring fun guests just like Dan Martell to the show. So appreciate you so much. And don't forget to do something just a little bit more brave today in your life that will move the needle forward for you. I will see you next time.